Our thoughts and prayers continue to be with the families now in Maine, having lost 18 loved ones and so many others injured. The shooter taking his own life, what a tragedy. And of course, the Middle East conflict continues. Hostages are still being held. We're thankful for those who have been released, but we certainly need to pray for peace, do we not? In our own country, there's much division, and the hatred is being demonstrated. Well, again, we need to pray that our country will turn back to God, that we will uphold the Bible. Get back to the Bible and do what God would have us to do. Certainly, if we're in the Lord's church, we need to be preserving the life of Christ as the salt of the earth, as we studied last Lord's Day. We began our study of the church before the world several Lord's Days ago, as this is a needed topic for this time. We began with the church before the world began, existing in the mind of God. That's right, the eternal kingdom, the eternal church, the church of Christ. And we continued our study with the church before the world, revealing the wisdom of God, and continued that in our second study. And so this morning, as we will finalize our series of the church before the world, we want to finish with the church before the world reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God as beacons in the night. And we'll continue that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Very much so. Now, something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we look forward to those opportunities. Let us know and we'll set up a time at your convenience. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's again mention the Stop 11 Road Lectureship. This is the 42nd annual lectureship. Begins today, November the 5th, and goes through the 9th. The topic, Mountains and Valleys of the Bible. I'm privileged to speak this morning at 11 o'clock, and my subject is Mount Seir, where Esau and his descendants lived. So I hope if you're in the area, you'll attend, and not just to hear me, but to hear fine preachers throughout the day, beginning at 10 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 2:30 p.m., and then Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m., 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. And I'm privileged to speak also on Wednesday night. Now, right after the lectureship ends, we will begin our gospel meeting. That is November the 10th. That would be a Friday night. And then we will go through Saturday night. Both Friday and Saturday night will be 7 p.m. And then we'll have a session on Sunday morning at 9:30. Regular 10:30 worship service. Having a potluck lunch that you'll really enjoy. And then finishing out at 1 p.m. Our speaker, Brother Bill Boyd, who preaches for the Rockcliffe Church of Christ in McMinnville, Tennessee. Good old Tennessee. That's my old stomping grounds. So I know you'll appreciate hearing Brother Bill put it out where the calves can get it. That is the gospel of Christ. So we look forward to seeing you at our meeting and getting to meet you. Now, let's get into our study as we're looking at the church before the world in each lesson, each sermon, and we're finishing up with Matthew 5, 14 through 16. The church before the world, reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God as beacons in the night. So let's notice now in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Many years ago, I joined the Navy and became a Navy corpsman. And as I spent a number of years in the Navy, I finally got the orders to Vietnam. Well, I was attached to the 1st Marine Division. And after leaving Vietnam, I went to Okinawa, and then I was with the 3rd Marine Division. And we prepared to go out to sea. And I was on board a troop carrier. And this was out in the South China Sea. If things had opened up there in Vietnam, we were going to hit the beach. The amphibs were in the bellies of the ships. There were 4 ships that were out together in the South China Sea. Well, it was very dark one night. The clouds covered the sky, and so I went out on the deck, and let me tell you, I actually felt the darkness. As you see in Exodus 10:21, the plague of darkness, they could feel it. Well, I could relate to that, because I didn't stay there very long. I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. So what a relief it was coming out of total darkness into the light within the ship. Now, the reason I bring this up, if those living in sin would feel as uncomfortable while remaining in the darkness of their sins as I felt that night in total darkness, why, faithful members of the church would be having Bible studies every day. That's right. And as they were in the first century, Acts 2, 46 and 47. Well, of course, the majority of the world does not realize that they are in darkness by remaining in their sins. And so the shining forth the light of truth is an eternally important daily work of the Church of Christ. Philippians 2, 15. And thus, we can understand why Jesus used natural light in the Sermon on the Mount. Because light dispels darkness, doesn't it? And Christians are to dispel the darkness of sin by reflecting the light of the Son of God, capital S-O-N. Yes, Jesus Christ, we're reflecting the light of Christ. We cannot live without light, the light of the sun, as we all know. It provides heat. It removes darkness, as we've said, and it reveals danger. Shows the path, refreshes our health. But now let's make this spiritual application. Without the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, salvation from our sins, that is our spiritual health, and the way to eternal life in heaven would not be possible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to the Father in heaven? Jesus said there's one, and it's through Him. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. I remember as I used to fly from the United States over to Murmansk, Russia, and where I was privileged to work as a preacher for 7 years. And after leaving the full-time work there, I would try to go back every year for a number of years. So I've been on numerous airline flights over the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. I've been through flights in the Pacific Ocean as well when I did some missionary work in Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania, and of course in the military. But the point I'm making is, as at night you would not see anything, of course, over the ocean, and when you would see the bright lights of a city, it would catch your attention as you looked out that small window of the jet airliner. Well, the reason, again, I'm using this as an example, Christians who are living daily godly lives should get the attention of those living in darkness. You see, that's why Jesus said, you know, we're to be that light that's not hid. That city that's set on the hill, it cannot be hid. I could sure see those lights. And if you've flown at night, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Well, certainly not. You want it to give light. And as you think about putting a cover over a lit lamp while you're trying to read a book, that would be foolish. Well, what about the members of the Lord's church who are ashamed to speak the truth? You see the point? We all need to see that. Brethren, we must enlighten the world with the Word of God. It's badly needed. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119:130. We all should know that verse. What about Isaiah 8:20? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So Christians should live by, boldly proclaim, uphold, and defend the truth, not for self-glory or honor, no, but that others might see our daily godly lives as an example of how God would have all men to live. That's the point, isn't it? God is glorified as we follow the doctrine of Christ, and thus we're not the light ourselves, but we're reflecting the light of the Son of God, again, capital S-O-N, as we live daily by His Word. Now, let's make a difference in this sinful world and utilize the following scriptures that deal with our study. John 1:4-5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9, that was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. speaking of Christ, of course, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:8-17, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the verse we'll stop with there. But you see the meaning that is being declared in the scriptures here of how light is to be in a spiritual sense, and all Christians following the life of Christ, preserving that life as salt of the earth, but now also reflecting the light of Christ as beacons in the darkness. That light is going to shine forth and dispel the darkness. So as we've talked about, the church before the world as the salt of the earth and as shining lights reflecting Christ, of course, that has a powerful impact on the world and brings glory to God. Ephesians 3:20-21. And in Acts 17:6, what do we find here? The world was being turned upside down. How? By those in the Lord's church doing the work of the church, proclaiming the gospel, living in accordance to the gospel. And thus today in the 21st century, we in the Lord's church should be charged by those outside the church of doing the same thing, turning the world upside down, just as the early church did in the first century. Now, the following statement I'm going to make here should be a stark warning to all of us, because if we are outside of Christ, we are presently in darkness, whether we admit it or not. And we must not die in darkness, because we will never leave it. Think about this. This is the scriptures declaring our Lord and Savior in Matthew 25:30-46. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So if we die in our sins, that's in darkness, we're going to never leave it. Does anybody want to be in darkness for eternity? That's what hell is going to be like, as there will be unquenchable fire as well, suffering, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it never ends. So this is the importance of preaching the wisdom of God is revealed in the church, which began in the mind of God before the world was ever brought forth. And certainly the church is to give the world flavor as the salt of the earth, preserving the life of Christ. And as we've just studied, the church before the world is reflecting the light of Christ as beacons in the night, dispelling the darkness of sin. See how important the church is? We all should see that. So let us praise, respect, honor, love, and glorify our Heavenly Father by serving faithfully in the Lord's church. And brethren, we must never, never, never be ashamed to state boldly there is only one true church found where? In the Holy Bible, the church of Christ, which is the only church Jesus promised to build as he purchased it with his own precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Matthew 16:18, Acts 20:28. There's one body, not many, the spiritual body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23, chapter 4 verse 4. One body. Yes, God's wisdom is before the world, giving the world flavor and light through the faithful lives of the members of the Church of Christ. The Lord's Church provides a daily godly influence throughout the world and proclaims the good news, the gospel of Christ, for all to hear and to obey. Matthew 5:13-16, as we've studied. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-16. So salt and light were used by our Savior to show his followers how important their daily godly lives could preserve the life of Christ, give flavor to the world, and enlighten the world with the truth. So let's honestly answer, what kind of influence am I having? And am I thankful for the good influences in my life? As members of the Lord's church, we must have a daily influence for good, not grow weary. Galatians 6:9 applies, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Where? In the Lord. That's in his body, the spiritual body of Christ, the true church, the church of Christ. Hopefully you've noticed that I've been making a point to emphasize the word daily, because that's what we all should be doing if we're a Christian, daily following Christ, taking up our cross. How often? Daily. And putting away anything that gets in the way of our putting Christ first. So, what an invaluable price our Lord and Savior paid. We can't put a price on the Savior's blood to purchase the church. No, we cannot do that. We can't earn salvation either. We don't deserve to be saved by the blood of Christ, but by the grace of God, we're able to be saved and obey the gospel of Christ. Not faith only, not grace only, but doing works of what? Righteousness, not works of merit. We cannot earn the death of Christ. And therefore, we who are in the Lord's church are all in debt to Christ, are we not? Notice Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul, the inspired writer, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So are we seeing, as Paul saw, we're indebted to lost souls to preach and teach the gospel of Christ. Of course, not everyone can preach, but we can certainly show people what the scriptures say in private Bible studies and be that example as a walking sermon. So our closing question is this: when Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, presents the kingdom, the church of Christ, to God the Father, where will I be? 1 Corinthians 15:24. Will we be in the true church, or some church that man has built? Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Rooted up. We better be in the true church, which was purchased with the blood of Christ. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. In order to become a child of God, we first have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins, John 8:24. After believing Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated to repent, to get out of sin. We may be living in a sinful marriage that's not a scriptural marriage. We have to get out of that in order to truly repent. If we've stolen something, we have to give it back. Repentance, see, is changing one's will and ready to do the will of God. We're not going to stay in sin. We're going to get out of it. And thus, we see in Acts 17:30, we must repent. And then we're ready to make the good confession, which is unto salvation. So we're not saved at the point of confession, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, now we're ready to be baptized. As you see in Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And thus the Lord would add not only Paul, but anyone else that obeys the gospel to the true church. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And now we need to remain faithful even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.